If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, Jaya.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. Cool Son says, it's crazy how much JF was an influence on Nick in the Bloodsports days. Yes, I like to think that that is the case. We don't agree on everything, but I like to think that Nick has been a product of the Bloodsports days, the most shining product. And right now, everyone is going at him. And we'll talk about this. We'll talk about the frictions that are at play. It's not just one thing. There's the Arval side that is giving up on Nick Fuentes for its own reasons. But then there's the Bilzerian, the bizarre Dan Bilzerian side that apparently it is Dan Bilzerian who would have told Arval to come out and make this video kind of abandoning Nick Fuentes. I mean, it's not without precedence. I'm pretty neutral in all of this, and I'm certainly not going to join in the bashing against Nick. I've always thought that Nick has his purpose, and it's a very important purpose. And I don't see the point of overtly attacking him. I can see the point of certain disagreements, sure. But I don't see the point of overtly attacking him, because in the end, 99% of what he does is still good to anyone else who's criticizing right now. Like Bilzerian would be nothing from a political standpoint if it wasn't of Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes has in many ways warmed the hearts of America to a public discourse about these issues. And I don't think that Bilzerian would be very important. As a standalone, I don't think Bilzerian has any interest to him. He's not particularly intelligent. He's not insightful. He seems like a kind of angry man who has control issues. And, you know, sometimes you see him appear, for example, on Piers Morgan, and then he retweets about the interview and he says, oh, I regret a couple of things that I've said. It's kind of weird where he stands. And he said that about this interview, it's maybe not my best interview. He seems to have self-control issues. Unlike Nick Fuentes, unlike me, we are really pillars. And it's like when we say something publicly, we will stand for it unless we're proven wrong. But we are not driven by emotion or anger. And that makes us, in my view, that makes Nick Fuentes a much more talented intellectual than a lot of the people who are criticizing him. Now, Arval is another case. Arval comes at it from a dissociation from the system perspective. Arval is precisely returning to the land. He's precisely saying, let's not engage with the politics game that is set against us. Let us withdraw from it and rebuild the world. And I'm very sympathetic to Arval. I don't know, though, that his mission requires leaving Nick Fuentes behind. I don't see why Arval would need to be critical of Nick Fuentes, but if he wants to do it, that's his prerogative. So we'll see the ensemble of the pylon that's happening, and that's it. I mean, I've been predicting this, by the way. I told you guys 2 years ago, I've been saying repeatedly for the last few years, there is a ultimate conflict. There is a schism as to how Nick Fuentes approaches the pragmatic games of politics and how idealists are not approaching that game and instead developing their own ideals. And this conflict will go on forever. It's not something that is resolvable. It's because if you play different games, there's a point at which you're pursuing completely different goals. Nick Fuentes is a white sympathetic political thinker. Arval is someone whose white identity forms the basis of his public engagement. Those are very different things. Because there's a point at which in America, especially given that there's less and less white people relatively in America, there's a point at which the pragmatic game is to go in Florida, hang out in bars, and show that you can be a player too. It's too bad, but that is what it is. That is the problem. And so it's like, yeah, Nick, a Chicago guy, will hang out with a Kanye, will hang out with people who are fully integrated into the Miami culture of how do you even call this? Polygamous, whatever, Africanism, whatever it is that's happening in Miami. He's gonna hang out and interact with this. Meanwhile, Arval doesn't want that, and rightfully so. It is not a desirable state to be in. So that's what we're faced with. Let's have a look at the whole pylon and everyone. Some people side with clubbing. I guess that's what's going on in Miami. Clubbing, like, how ridiculous is that? Like, living in the shit world of absolute bilateral exploitation between men and women for absolutely nothing. Just, it's such a wrong culture. But, you know, Nick will participate to these things and then say, hey, it's morally wrong, by the way. So it's like there's not as much distance between all these people as they seem to act as if. But now there are big revelations. There are two confirmations that Dan Bilzerian suggested some criminal actions that he may have wanted to commit, both to Nick Fuentes and to Lucas Gage. So it's getting hot. It seems that Nick Fuentes was keeping an ace up his sleeve. He was keeping that info hidden, probably out of respect for an ally. But now that Dan Bilzerian is coming out against Nick has released the idea that the statement that Dan Bilzerian would have taken his phone and said, we're leaving these phones in a room. I'm going to take you to a room without phones. And he would have discussed in that secret room without records. He would have discussed with Nick about the idea of bringing him to Dubai and killing people. It's to be honest, I believe Nick. I just believe Nick. You know, it's totally in line with the character. He's always seemed to me like he has the phenotype of someone who has anger issues and lack of physical control. And someone who's boiling with a desire to do more than he says. And, you know, these high testosterone gym bros, it's almost inevitable. They say stupid stuff. David last name says, Arval is to an extent captured by his own Chud audience. In my opinion, he felt he couldn't afford to be viewed as a Nick sycophant. There's a little bit of that also, you know, the whole ankle biting is a phenomenon that you have to deal with as a creator. It's like, yeah, you can elevate yourself by going harder. And it's fine. It's totally fine. I'm not saying Arval is dishonest in the process. Arval is saying, look, we have a fundamental disagreement. I'm gonna identify it. I'm gonna be critical, and then I'm gonna cash in on it by having growing audience. Because of course the project of Arval is getting very popular, by the way. And Arval is a big guy of the internet now. I mean, he's been on TMZ for fuck's sake. But, you know, you can get more views, of course, if you put a little conflict. That's the rule of American wrestling. And it does apply as the father of the blood sports, I'm the best person to know that it applies on the internet and in intellectualism. Lauren says, Nick mentioned JF recently on his show during the super chats. Oh yeah, he still hasn't responded to my DM. Maybe I should either send him a DM right now or wait for White People Food to be out, because I think I can get to Nick with White People Food, because I do cover American fast food in this book. And so perhaps we can wait for a moment where I have a book to promote and I'm going to say, Nick, there are McDonald's burgers in there. So yeah, I'll talk to Nick at some point. SSB says, the people accusing Nick of being a Fed are plotting the assassination of officials. Laughing my ass off. Yeah, it's a very complex situation that's developing. Because there's Tucker piling on, there's Dan Bilzerian working in the back scene to get people to pile on. And it's fascinating to me, because why... Dan Bilzerian, what does he have to win with this? I don't know. What does he have to win? It's like, you're not gonna be welcomed among the respectable people, Dan. You basically share 95% of Nick Fuentes' IDs. I don't even know of a single thing that Dan Bilzerian is an originator of. Any useful intellectual, you can always identify that one thing that you've not heard anywhere else. You want to know what JF's one thing is, the revolutionary phenotype, and then you can pile on a couple of innovations that I've brought into the public discourse on race, you know, the blood sports days, etc. But there's always something to a useful intellectual, you should always be able to identify what is his root. And I can easily identify this for Nick. Nick is the most in-depth researcher on on matters of Jewish power, Palantir, Peter Thiel kind of connections. This guy knows everything there is to know about this. And so, yes, I cannot say the same thing about Dan Bilzerian. Dan Bilzerian, when he appears on an interview like Piers Morgan, what do I see? I see the repetition of memes, literally. I see that he's repeating the memes that people are trying to push on me. Every day I have anonymous accounts that are, JF, why don't you say this very evil thing that would get you banned? And it's like, okay, Dan Bilzerian is the guy who falls for it. Sunstate says, why do glaze a regime shill like Fuentes when he has only clowned you in the last 8 years? Well, I'm not saying don't criticize Nick Fuentes. There are intellectual bases to criticize Nick Fuentes. I'm not glazing him either. But the intellectual bases are limited. And it's like, okay, yes, you know, there is a ultimate conflict between pragmatic politics and purist ideology. That's a critique. It's not going to get you views. You're not going to do 100,000 views on a Twitter clip saying this. Now, if you do it in the Arval way, you're going to get a little more views. And Arval is a very intelligent guy. So I'm here saying there's a lot of good and there's a lot of fairness in everything that's happening. There's also a lot of bullshit. Richard Spencer says, none of these people attacking Nick have got the juice. They just want the AF label to be open to them for their non-compelling content or grift. They don't like it when movements are centralized, but centralization is powerful. Very important thought here by Richard Spencer. So, Nick is playing the game of self-elevation, and a lot of the critique, I heard this from Tucker, I heard this from Dan Bilzerian, and I heard this in Arval's mouth. A lot of the critiques are, Nick Fuentes is about himself first. Nick Fuentes is Nick first, not America first. Now, I want to be clear. You cannot carry... This is a point I've made to fucking Jeff Epstein. in New York in 2015, all right? You cannot carry a movement forward on the internet without having a solid, individual, free-thinking leader. You cannot. And it doesn't matter if it's Nick Fuentes and the America First Movement, or if it's JF making his small neuroscience show that only interests experts. The internet is all about individuals elevating themselves above the pile. There's no way you can do it without individuals. And Nick, being an early player of the internet rise game, he understands this. So a lot of the narcissism that you would attribute to Nick, if you analyze his comments and his behavior on his show, if you analyze it at a first social degree, like barbecue style, I'm just socializing, yeah, Nick would seem like a capricious, kind of narcissistic, kind of annoying, kind of bridge-burning type of guy. But this is not the right lens to study public commentary, because public commentary relies on people having big balls and dropping them on the table and being entertaining at all time. V, the early YouTube Romanian YouTuber V, has said in 2013, the biggest crime you can commit on the internet is to not be funny. And so, yes, Nick seems like a bridge-burning type of guy, but he has to be funny and he has to be swift. And if someone asks him about someone, he's going to make jokes, he's going to mock them. I was the target of these mockery, and I took vengeance at some point against him. Thankfully, we have forgiven each other. But this is the game of the internet, and it's like you should have a little margin, just like I had margin with Nick. You know, he's been calling me fat for like 2 years, and he's been mocking me, and I've been taking it in the margin. I only took vengeance at some point because he started attacking my wife. He started making jokes about my wives or ex-wives. So I took vengeance. But all this to say, you need to have a little margin because it's entertainment. And you would have no movement. You would not exist if it wasn't of Nick Fuentes. We all depend on an internet ecosystem that is largely maintained and grown by Nick Fuentes. You would be extremely, extremely small if it wasn't of Nick Fuentes. That goes to anyone, including me. So, you know, you have to have, as a gardener, you have to have a respect for the ecosystem. And I would recommend that people show a little more respect for the ecosystem maintainer. Because Nick Fuentes, across the years, is one of the only ones who has succeeded at bringing new people to these talking points. We could all be streaming to 5 people right now. And if the powerfuls of this world would have it the way they want it, that's what would have happened. But Nick largely has guided a growth and has maintained a capacity for growth while staying connected to the vast majority of his beliefs. And that is commendable. Trevor Blue says, I disagree with JF about Nick, but agree 100% with him on Blonde. Ah, Blonde! It had been a while since I hadn't imagined coming inside of Blonde of the Belly of the Beast. There you go. You did it again. You did it again. You reminded me of her, Trevor. You reminded me of Rebecca. Why I've finally given up on Nick Fuentes. Arval lays out his case. We will not watch the full clip, but let's listen to what he has to say.
Corruption and waste in government, right? You might not agree with all his policies. Maybe you're not a libertarian. Maybe you don't like his lifestyle. I mean, he lives a self-sufficient kind of prepper lifestyle. I like that. Obviously, I sympathize with that myself. And I was a libertarian. I'd really probably prefer more libertarian policies to anything else that's actually on offer these days. because then we'll be allowed to organize ourselves, our own communities, our own education, our own social programs. We don't need to coercively tax a tax base in order to have a good society. We're basically just caught up in ego, and every content creator is out for themselves and their own personal gain. And we're not acting on principle. We're not.
This I would criticize a part of this to Aravol. And, you know, I'm not saying Aravol shouldn't challenge Nick Fuentes on what he truly believes is his point of opposition to Nick Fuentes. But let's stop attacking the game. The game is about individuals rising and acquiring visual power on the internet, human attention. You do it, I do it, everyone has to do it. If you have someone who's very, very intelligent, and in fact very, very right, but he doesn't have the game, that person counts as dead to the internet. And you have to give the margin to other creators that they will play the game. And it is not something to be criticized of Nick. In fact, all of these narcissistic, you know, these responses to super chats that are dismissive, that is the style of Nick, and it's part of the game. And is even his bridge burning is part of the game. Because the fact is, if Nick had an open heart to every single person who wanted to ally or associate with him across the years, what would be left of Nick today? You know, he would have been cozying up with Nazis. He would have been trapped in various entrapment scams. He would have been associated with scammers. It's very hard to elevate yourself, and Nick does it in a clean way. He has a personality, he is entertaining, and he is kind of dismissive intellectual type. That's beautiful, and it's not to be criticized. Those aspects of his personality are actually a tool in our job. And whoever does it the best will succeed at building a movement the way Nick Fuentes is the only person who has built a movement that has youth attractability in a rising generation, and that has the true expanding power. Now, I'm not saying that Aravol's movement is invalid, but I'm saying he's a master at the game. He should be respected for it, not criticized.
Living up to our basic civic virtues, we're not courageous. And when people do have the courage to sacrifice and expose themselves to risk, the rest of us just snipe from the sidelines and criticize. It's disgusting. It really is. Specifically, he saw that Fuentes had attacked me again on his show. I don't bring Fuentes up. I don't attack him out of the blue. When we had our falling out, I explained why that was. But for some reason, Nick feels like it's appropriate to impugn my character, even though I am very transparent with my goals. We need white communities. I'm one of the few people actually building white communities, organizing white business networks.
All right, so that is the point of Aravol, and it ultimately it boils down to the friction between, well, okay, you build these white communities. From the Nick worldview, you are abandoning everything else, and you are. So that's the fundamental critique here. Is Nick sees this as too isolationist and not enough engaged with the reality of politics. That's a fair critique, but it's also a fair thing to pursue Aravol's goal. On the other hand, Aravol's critique of Nick Fuentes is to say, well, by cozying up with trying to win that game of the dirty politics of today, you are inevitably diluting yourself to the point where, yes, I do believe that at some point in the future, Nick is undistinguishable from J.D. Vance, as weird as it may sound, because we have seen again and again what has been happening with the Republican Party since 2016. And it is gatekeeping and replacement again and again. You know, Elon Musk tried to reform the Republican Party by throwing out the racist. He said these people need to be banned forever from the Republican Party. Tried cozying with Trump. What do we have? Corruption, alliances. You end up not having a Republican Party at the end. You end up having a bunch of people who were cozying up with Netanyahu, who took over the Republican Party. These internal wars, they always lead you to lose. And it's absolutely fair for Arvel to say, yeah, I have the worry. I don't know that Arvel has said these words, but I will put words in his mouth because this is my worry. Down the line, 20 years from now, has Nick Fuentes been fully absorbed by the system? That is a question I have. I don't even have the answer. But in 20 years from now, is Nick the pale replacement the way Tucker is the pale replacement to Nick? Maybe. Maybe. And is Nick capable of being engaged in a political quest eventually that is completely careless about whites because he considers that it's a lost battle? Maybe. Those are fair critiques. They are mostly questions, honestly. But this legitimate question is not the one that's being put at the forefront of the current debate. Because the current debate is artificial. It sounds and it feels extremely artificial. And Dan Bilzerian comes out. Nick's movement is a personality cult built around outrage, ego, and attention-seeking. I want no part of it. The Epstein cabal has pitted us against each other, stripped away our sovereignty, and buried the country in debt. We need to take our country back. That is the statement of Dan Bilzerian, and I find it so bizarre when I see these coordinated actions. That's one thing about this pylon. He's using the same words as Tucker Carlson is, the cult of personality, as if it's a problem. And again, it's not a problem. It's a necessity of our jobs. The reason Nick is winning is because he has this personality. It's because he thinks about who he associates with at any moment in time. And it's because he is self-elevating that he can carry an intellectual quest. To carry an intellectual quest, you have to make yourself the alpha. And that's why I titled tonight The Alpha's Cost. Because there's one thing in monkey society. People keep thinking that the alpha is the winner. The alpha isn't the winner. The alpha is the goat on the cross being sacrificed. The alpha is taking the biggest, most dull job you can have and most dangerous job you can have, which is to impose domination on all the other males who all want to take your place. And that's the situation Nick finds himself with tonight. They all want a piece of America first. I mean, and we're not talking just Dan Bilzerian here. We're talking down to Tucker Carlson, down to Elon Musk. They all want a piece of it. They all want to dilute that word away from Nick Fuentes. My instinct is you can't do this. You will not succeed at doing this precisely because you don't understand the game, the level at which Nick plays it. You can try to dilute, you can try to put a bad name on America first, and you can try being associated with it loosely. And by the way, in this intervention, Jaden McNeil, this kind of, you know, these people who have been hating on Nick for like 4-8 years, they're all happy to continue piling on. And this is the alpha's cost. The alpha's cost is that the first conflict with the highest monkey below him is easy to handle. That's a single conflict. I'm stronger than you. I beat you. You run away. Or you're intimidated and we don't even fight. But the alpha's cost is that there's 90 other monkeys in the tribe, all male, all wanting to kill the alpha. and they all stack problems with it and a history of conflict. And so you have today, you know, generations of Nick haters are showing up. From the small conflicts of Arval, who was friends with Nick, as far as I can tell, a year ago, going on his show, to the Dan Bilzerian, you know, kind of novel personalities of the political commentary. But back to the Jaden McNeil and the people who have been hating Nick from a previous iteration. This is fascinating to me. It's the cumulative effect of the subordinates. Eventually, the alpha gets all of them. He gets all of them against him. Now, Nick Fuentes, being attacked by Dan Bilzerian, comes up with a private story. I will read what he says. That's Nick Fuentes on X 1 hour ago. He says, "The first time I met Dan Bilzerian at his house, he had us put our phones in another room, then asked me how difficult it would be to assassinate the government ministers of a certain country." I will not read the name of the country. "Then he invited me to Dubai and Qatar, which I declined. On his way there, he was ambushed by the FBI." You know, this strikes me as extremely realistic. That sounds like Dan Bilzerian. I can see him absolutely doing this. I can see him being either dumb enough to fall for the international traps that they set for you, because the system, once it detects that you're a dissident, they absolutely want you in another country than your own. Because then you have no citizenship rights. Then you can have assassins going at you. You can have people spying onto you. Everything is possible once you're out of your country. This is why I can't really travel outside of Canada. But it's very bizarre, these creators that are getting invited to Qatar and Dubai. Very, very bizarre. And those regimes are very much in alliance with Israeli interests. In fact, in the Iran war, they basically get bombed for it. It's very, very weird. And now we have, okay, so Dan Bilzerian was inviting Nick Fuentes to Qatar. Dan Bilzerian is saying Nick Fuentes has a cult of personality. Well, where have I observed these two things elsewhere? You want to try on the chat? Let's do a little crowdsourcing here. Where have I heard of someone having ties to Qatar and someone recently criticizing the cult of personality of Nick Fuentes? That is Tucker Carlson. That is Tucker Carlson, absolutely. So we have here a common pattern. Creators that are, and I'm not including Arval in this one. Arval has his own critique of Nick Fuentes. But we have a Dan Bilzerian and a Tucker Carlson, both with ties to Qatar, both making these bizarre arguments, and both really, really trying hard to take the name of America First from Nick Fuentes and give it another flavor. And both using the very same argument, Nick is a narcissistic cult of personality. Which, by the way, it's not, by the way. Invalid argument, just to be clear. Nick is using the cult of personality to elevate his intellectual points. The way you use brown sauce to elevate a steak, really. The steak of Nick, and it's like, yeah, I'm writing this book on the everyday. So it's like, I think in terms of brown sauces. Nick's steak is absolutely accurate critique. And no, it is not the despair of young men in their basement. It's not this. This is not Nick's steak. This is a side effect of Nick's quest that he attracts people who witness the gravity of the current situation of the world. But Nick's take is his analysis and his proper critique of the various takeover infiltrating movements in American politics. That's the best way I can phrase it. That's his fundamental pillar. It's why he's popular. The rest is talent. That's good to have, but it's just talent. The rest is just this. People are watching us also on X, and I have Zeno saying, as always, JF's lucidity is unmatched. And Dylan was saying, Tucker. Yes. Now, is that enough that I believe in Nick Fuentes? And I believe that his report about Dan Bilzerian is true, being taken in a side room without phones for Dan Bilzerian to be making fetish comments to him. Well, we have a confirmation from Lucas Gage. Lucas Gage and Nick Fuentes both claim that during individual meetings with Dan Bilzerian, Bilzerian asked Gage how to kill a political commentator. So it would seem that Dan Bilzerian has truly a problem here, a behavioral problem. And it's very dangerous, guys like this. These hyper-testosterone guy, they don't have the second layer of self-control. They are only driven by anger, and you cannot advance a political movement by sheer anger. Anger can motivate you at the root, but you cannot let it change your game. You cannot let it get in the way of the true point that you want to do publicly, because you cannot have this kind of secret anger in the back of your mind that drives what you do, because you're not going to be able to make that anger the central point of your contribution, because censorship and because no one wants to listen to an angry man, really. People want to listen to a thinking man. Doubting Thomas sends a super chat. He says, you absolutely need to include Thanksgiving turkey and fixins. That is peak signature Western food. I'm at the point where I have 8 pages left to fill for the White People Food book. I don't know that I'll be putting a Thanksgiving turkey in there. I think it's too classy. It's too... You can have this everywhere else. So I like this book to go into the things that you may be missing. But I'll think about it. That being said, there is a Thanksgiving turkey in my experimental fusion cuisine. I make a xiaolongbai, a Chinese xiaolongbao, with Thanksgiving stuffing in it. But that's not a Thanksgiving turkey, but it tastes like a Thanksgiving turkey, let me tell you. But I'll think about it, but it's like I'm annoyed by these recipes that you can find everywhere else. And I'm like, do I want it in that book? Yeah, it's a classic. But J.D. Vance has already canceled Thanksgiving turkey. He said it's disgusting. Alex Cross says, maybe Dan is like Epstein and trying to get blackmail on them, invite them into a room with no phones, then secretly record them. You know, it could very well be. And so I want to be clear, if you're ever faced with that kind of behavior like Dan Bilzerian, and you are a dissident or even not a political public person, but you're just a friend of him maybe or a supporter of him, continue acting in every way as you would publicly at all times. That is what I do with everyone, including my girlfriends. That's why you never get a JF recording. That's why... like, because at every second of my life, I'm a public person. Now, you're going to get the false allegations that you can't defend against. But you'll never get a JF recording of me even elevating the voice. Because every second of my life, I live as if recorded. It's a good way to live, actually. It's a nice thought experiment that you can do. First class clip says from Nick's Telegram... In 2024, Dan B invited me to Europe, lol, sus as fuck. So apparently that may have been a message from Nick's Telegram dating from 2024 and noting these facts. I seriously don't trust any of these fucking people. Hey, nice to meet you. By the way, I just got a visit from the FBI, but let's do some international travel together. He wants me to go to Dubai, lol, fuck that, fuck the Emirates. So that's very interesting. Dan Bilzerian is part of this cabal of people who somehow end up smoking these water-based bongs in Dubai. And that is extremely, extremely blurry to me. Extremely weird behavior. There are people who stand by Nick, and I will also say I stand by Nick. Lily says, I stand with Nick Ferrantes. The attacks on him are dominating my timeline, look very coordinated, and smells like a campaign. This is the political system activating itself for the midterms and in light of 2028. They are very, very annoyed by the fact that Nick has developed the ultimate tactic and has presented to his audience the ultimate tactic of resistance, which is let's not just not vote Republicans, let's vote Democrat. And I think it's all a product of this. It's like Nick is playing the game of the destruction of the party that was stolen by others. So that's the situation we find ourselves in. And I don't think even that Arval is part of the cabal. I think Arval is kind of a side thing that just happens to be aligned with the pile. I think that Arval is an honest thinker and an honest intellectual who's truly dumbfounded by Nick's behavior, and Nick gets aggressive at him on his show, and so he responds. And I think that's its own story. But as far as why Tucker Carlson and Dan Bilzerian are suddenly saying all of the same thing, that's a grift of the initial Arval opposition, and it's not related intellectually. That's more related to the fact that Nick has become the enemy of those people who believe they still have the control of the Republican Party. And let me tell you, it's very easy to know if you have control of the Republican Party. Watch the back of your head in a mirror. Look for a hat. Look for a sign that maybe you're the president of Israel. If your name is Bibi Netanyahu, look for these signs. Now, you may have a claim that you have control of the Republican Party. But if you are Tucker Carlson, you don't even control the Republican Party. If you are Elon Musk, you don't control the Republican Party. If you are Dan Bilzerian, you don't control the Republican Party. And I know of only one man who has the solution to it, and it's Nick Ferrantes. And they are in a delusion. This is the problem. This whole campaign of hatred is is based on a delusion and on a false interpretation. These people think they have something within the Republican Party, or they're just literally intelligence agents trying to fool people into thinking that. But suppose you take them at their words, they believe they have control of the Republican Party. They want to build the Republican Party going forward. They see themselves somehow participating with their voice and influence into what the Republican Party will do in 2028. Whereas in a way, Nick Ferrantes has abandoned the Republican Party and is saying, so we need to punish them. We can make the Republican Party better down the line, but in 2026, we need to punish them. So isn't it fascinating as an embedded system? Because Arval divorces from the world, builds his own white community. Nick Ferrantes divorces from the Republican Party, calls his audience to vote for the Democrats. But these people, Tucker, Dan Bilzerian, they're in the embeddedment. They have not given up on the world. They have not given up on the world like Arval, and they have not given up on the Republican Party like Nick Ferrantes. We have Elijah Schaefer siding with Nick Ferrantes. It's popular to dunk on Nick Ferrantes right now. Everyone fighting for power to edge him out. I have bad news for you all. There is no America First movement without Nick Ferrantes. You're all a bunch of Erica Kirks trying to fill Charlie's shoes, doubling down on Nick myself. And Arval says in response, you're your own man, Elijah. You don't have to subordinate yourself to anyone. There will come a time when you'll face a choice between standing up for what you believe and saying what Nick and the Gripers want you to say. You'll stand by the truth when it counts. Okay. Wise words from Arval. And yes, I do believe there is a point at which pragmatic politics to score a win will be extremely costly for the idealist, who may have had a different vision of what matters than Nick does. That is a point to be resolved in the future. It's a point I can see coming. I've been talking about it for 2 years. It's a point I can see coming in the future. There is still, though, no reason for all this infighting. And this infighting is elevating the worst of the movement in a very self-destructive way. Nick Fuentes reacts to all of this, and he points out that everyone is attacking him.
I was cracking up with that clip Dasha posted on X. The pause and look from Megan had me rolling lol. Keep it up, man, and shout out to all of the UPS Growipers out there listening to you delivering.
How about it? What's going on with Dasha? What's going on? What's going on over there? What's going on? What's going on in my Red Scare girlies? What's going on over there? Not beating the allegations by saying that. Yeah, how about it? Dude, Megyn Kelly was pressed. Because she goes, it's shocking. And Dasha's like, it is shocking. And Megan's like, are you being facetious? No, I'm not. I'm not being facetious. It's very extreme. What is that? Was Megan trying to get them to disavow? She put together my highlight reel of every racial slur I've ever said. What is that? Oh, everybody's just... Why is everybody always attacking me? I feel like I have this karmic debt. Everybody's out to get me. Everybody's just trying to hurt me, it seems. Everybody just wants to really hurt me in the deepest possible ways.
That's because you have won, Nick. That's that's the alpha cost. It's a sign that you've actually done everything right. Because you have succeeded at making yourself the target of all the subordinate attacks. And that is a sign that there are people who are paying and who want to see a takeover of not just the Republican Party, but also a takeover of the America First energy. And my comment to Nick is, you're taking the attacks very well, and I don't think they can win. I think your personality is still too fundamental. Because these people that are trying to take Nick's place, they can't even engage honestly on the subjects that made Nick popular. They can't even talk about it in their words. They have to make up false side commentary. Like, oh yeah, I understand that young men in their basement, you know, they're pretty disparate. Like this discussion right here. Notice the elephant in the room is that they can't even say exactly why Nick is good. So we're still back to the original Tucker Carlson from 2 years ago saying, oh, he's a very talented guy. No, it's not about the talent. He's talented, but it's not about the talent. Yes, young men are frustrated, but it's not their frustration that's making Nick successful.
But where does that leave the group that you're talking about, which voted for Trump, by the way,
yeah.
Overwhelmingly
bag holders.
But what, and then I, you know, Nick Fuentes, or Fuentes is only about Fuentes, but at some point.
Notice how this is how, you know, you are an alpha, Nick. Notice how Tucker finds himself forced to say Nick Fuentes, but then tries to call himself back. Does he matter? Like, yes, he matters, Tucker, because you're forced to talk about him. And because there is nothing else in the American mind right now than this duality. For any thinking person, this duality between those who have taken over the Republican Party and the resistance. The fact that you have to talk about him is why your second statement, does he matter? He's only about himself. No. He's not about himself because you're forced to talk about him. And you're forced to talk about him because he is a matter of public interest at this time and most of the weeks in the year.
Point there's going to be someone who is not just about himself.
So Tucker is like, I'm so worried about Nick Fuentes because, oh, well, he's a narcissist and he's about himself. But one day there will be someone like him, but who's not a narcissist. No, this guy is Nick Fuentes. The guy you're describing is the Nick Fuentes that you fail at seeing. Nick is this guy who has elevated himself powerful enough that he has to be mentioned by you. Tucker doesn't realize the power that Nick has. He wants to deny it. He wants to be in denial of it. But Nick Fuentes is precisely the guy who has succeeded at getting himself in the mouth of Tucker Carlson and Ben Shapiro on a weekly basis. He's the one making them seed because they have this delusionary project of the Republican Party that they think they can still contribute to, despite repeated demonstration of getting it wrong. Tucker Carlson himself had to apologize a couple of months ago for giving credibility to the J.D. Vance, the current administration. Now, what does that tell me, Tucker? It tells me that Tucker fails at strategic control over his alliances. The fact that the Trump administration went into this Iran war while also having solicited the votes and the alliances of people like you, Tucker, are telling me both that your project for the Republican Party will always be a repeating failure because you do not have the strategic basis to enforce even on administrations you've supported your preferences. You have went to lobby Donald Trump and failed. So you are only a giver. You're giving away your audiences to a political project in which you get fucked. And as a consequence, your audiences get fucked. The only person that has a solution right now to this problem is Nick Fuentes. He's the only one with a leading solution. We'll vote Democrats. And we'll vote Democrats with an audience credible and big enough that it may very well flip the election. It may very well make the difference between a House controlled by Republicans or a House controlled by Democrats, and perhaps in 2028, a presidency controlled by the Republicans or the Democrats.
Who actually wants to build a political movement that is way more radical than the Republican Party, and that person is going to be huge among your generation. Is that a fair...
That is Nick Tucker. That's it. Tucker is having an out-of-body, an out-of-Fuentes experience. It's like you have so wanted hard to deny Nick's success. You so not want to, you don't want to see the reality of Nick, so you've just invented another guy who will supplant Nick, but who somehow has all of the characteristics that I see in Nick. That tells you, Tucker, that you fail at understanding this man. You failed at understanding your Nick Fuentes, Tucker, because you've just invented a ghost. But that ghost is nothing else than Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know the full political belief of, I don't know all the beliefs, you know, Fuentes has, for example, but I think he's right about that young man.
See the elephant in the room? I don't know all of the beliefs that, like, Fuentes, for example. So you don't say for example here, you fucking deceptive assholes. Nick Fuentes is the bearer of an extremely unique intellectual contribution in American politics right now. He's not an example. He is the man. And you guys are in a discussion where the elephant in the room is that you're talking about just Nick Fuentes, really. And he's all that matters to this ID. He's all that matters because he's positioned himself to be there. And you use euphemism like for example, when in fact you don't have a single other example in your mind. Because this whole movement is Nick Fuentes.
And are disaffected.
I'm not attacking Fuentes. Yeah. I'm saying like Fuentes.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, so I just constructed a ghost that has all of the features of Nick Fuentes, but it's also not Nick Fuentes because Nick Fuentes is too narcissistic. Oh, yeah, and also Nick Fuentes is just an example among many, many others. Oh, and I want to be clear that I'm not criticizing Nick Fuentes. Well, bro, Nick is living in you guys' minds. Nick is living rent-free in your fucking mind. And you look like fucking idiots trying to deny it.
Only about Fuentes or whatever.
I mean, I don't know.
Ty Rogerson says, JF Skuwer on the barbecue. Excellent culinary reference.
Ultimately, he talks about
he's
himself.
He's unavoidable.
Oh, this movement. Fuentes, you know, ultimately, he's just about himself. No, that is not true. That is not true. I watch Fuentes' content regularly. He's regularly extremely informative. He's regularly dropping things that make me learn. I don't know of any other political show in which I actually learned something. Like, okay, so that's the link between this particular Republican and this particular funder. And he had this company and they were friends in this country. There's no other political show where I learned that kind of stuff and where the whole learning is not just learning of factoids. It's all tied together in an appealing meal that gives me a taste of what's happening behind the scene in politics.
Well, you know,
but he makes points that are true.
He drinks water. Okay, let's establish this. Nick drinks water, I drink water, so we agree on certain things. But it's like, you can't even name them. Tucker, you can't even talk about it honestly. Like, how about, Tucker, you take the time to lay out everything that Nick's believe and go one by one on the items, rather than say, oh yeah, he's very popular with the losers in their basement. Rather than say this, how about you list everything that he says on a show and you start going through us out of transparency for us, Tucker, so we know who you are. But he's not going to do this. It's always going to be the surface analysis of the worst possible interpretation of what Nick has to say. Needstaff says, spectacular inside JF.
Absolutely.
A lot of them.
For sure.
And he is being...
Now, he's true on a lot of things, but so what are the things that he's even not true about? What are the things that are false that Nick has ever said? Can Tucker name one?
And I, you know, it's like that ring true for a non-radical or someone who is...
They ring true for me. That's why I interviewed him.
Yeah,
I don't agree with a lot of it. I told him I didn't. But in general, his critique that the whites are shafted...
For sure.
And that this Israel relationship is really sick.
And that everyone basically that voted for Trump is seemingly not getting anything to ask for.
Got it.
Right?
I agree with all of that. So that's all real. Yeah. My only point is people look at Fuentes and they're like, oh, you're the scariest thing that could happen.
Absolutely
no.
Not.
You know what's most ironic? Is that Tucker Carlson in his current iteration was made possible by Nick Fuentes. And I would argue was made possible down the line because of me. This is what's happening here. What is the chain of causes that lead from a neuroscientist in 2013 to Tucker Carlson of today in 2026? I start revolting against the system. I start deciding, you know what? Right-wing talking on the internet is dishonest. Science, academia is dishonest. There are lots of elephants in the room. It's time to drop them. I come up with blood sports. I come up a very early streamer career commenting on the question of Jewish power and race and other things. And eventually, a young high school guy, Nick Fuentes, starts rising on the internet. By the way, not just because of me, but Nick Fuentes starts rising, being extremely popular in these clips in which he's thought patrolling, in which he's just owning the liberals, etc. And eventually, we developed together a growing movement that has put at the center of the question, who controls politics in America? And down the line, this movement has convinced early internet people and crowds, and we had some of the biggest shows. By the way, there was a time in the past at which Nick had 1,000 viewers on his show, and I had 500,000 viewers on some of my shows. I'm not saying this to brag here. Just let us remind ourselves of history. There was a time at which I was inviting Nick on my show, and he was saying, thank you, Jeff. This is growing my crowd so much. I can't believe it's good business when I go on your shows. So that is the past. That has happened. And down the line, this question was carried by people like Nick to points where none of us could carry it, and to points where they have convinced enough people that eventually Tucker Carlson had to think about it. That is the series of causes that leads to the current Tucker Carlson. Nick Fuentes is largely the father of the current Tucker.
Yeah.
That's my point.
I don't know where it goes, right? The energy has to go somewhere, right? This is like Newton's, I don't know, second law, third law.
Who the fuck is this guy, by the way? It's not a physical law that the energy has to go somewhere. I guess preservation of energy.
I only went to high school. You tell me, Tucker. The energy must be diverted elsewhere. And a lot of young men are pissed off. I think for a lot of young men, though, they will just hibernate and jerk off and decay in their basement.
They have to stop with this shit. And it's like, if you want to talk about the male situation, there is a situation. But it's a situation we have to discuss from the problem of the matriarchy, the problem of family courts, the problem of taxation, which is theft of men by woman. We can talk about it, but you don't have the tools to actually engage in this. You're really just using this to paint, to kind of say, oh yeah, Nick, you know, Nick Fuentes is kind of in this movement of weird, angry men. And these weird, angry men, they have so much energy. Who knows where it will go?
In their parents' homes. That is reality. There will be a eugenics effect.
And it's like you are totally siding with the eugenic elimination of the males of this nation. Their complete disempowerment when you frame things that way. It's like, oh yeah, there will be a eugenic effect. You know, they're spending way too much time on their games. Yes, there will be a eugenic effect. We should combat it. We should combat it with solutions. What are the solutions? It is to take power back. If there is to be a solution, it will be this. There are two solutions, two sets of solutions to the matriarchy, to the power of the state, to the growing corruption in politics. There are two solutions. There are two men who stand for each of these solutions. Arval stands for escape. I'm very sympathetic to Arval because I am in escape myself. I am saying we should just drive away until we find a place where our rights are respected and rebuild the world there. That's very much what I like to do. That's one man. And then there's another solution. And that's another man, Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes says we can and will take power. We can play and wager, and we can be as vicious as the opposition, and we will sneak our way into power in some form. And we can take that machine and eventually claim it explicitly. Maybe at first it will be some ninja moves in politics, but eventually we can claim victory. Those are the two only rational beliefs. And you guys, this guy right here, Tucker, and whoever this guy is, you guys are still in the fear. You're still in the reaction to these two men with balls, Arval and Nick Fuentes. You're still in, oh, they're thinking about themselves so much. Oh, wow, they're putting their testicles on the table so hard. Oh, my God, those are big testicles. Oh, shit. I don't know what will happen. Imagine that someone with even bigger testicles shows up. I mean, who knows what happens then? You guys are fucking females. You're not engaging with the points. You're not even describing the points correctly because you can't, because you want to keep it as this nebulous elephant in the room. And that is why Nick Fuentes wins. That is why, because people on the edge of the internet are not willing to take this bullshit, this elephant in the room that we can't talk about. You can't name it. You can't engage with Nick's point, honestly. And so people have been tired of this forever. That's why Nick has been stacking audiences and you've not. You know, Jaden McNeil, a very, very old school Nick hater joining in the pod and also describing the video by Elias Schaefer is very bizarre these days. It's like these coked up videos that he produces. And Elias Schaefer is saying that he wants to organize a live event with Nick. And it will be at his at the land of one of his friends. And they already got the funding for it. And it would be a live event where people would pay high ticket prices, but to be in a kind of club with them. I don't know if it's true. I don't care particularly. But it shows that pieces on the board are getting positioned here. And we have basically the feet sucker of the Republican Party. That's Tucker. People who have been actually rejected from the Republican Party, like Tucker, but who somehow still tell you to vote for the Republican Party and who still will tell you to vote for the people who fuck you up and who lie to you and who go against what the base wants, which was not a war with Iran. So those are the feet sucker of the elite. They are positioning themselves and they are trying to get punches onto Nick. You have a Dan Bilzerian. Is he a feet sucker of the elite? Well, he's certainly siding with them at this point. I don't know what's his thing. I don't know why he does what he does, but he's certainly siding with them for the instant. And then you have the Arval, who I believe has a good ground for a genuine disagreement with Nick Fuentes, but a disagreement that doesn't matter. Because what is desirable in the end? It is that we pursue all available options. And so I want a Nick Fuentes that is as successful as possible in his quest. I want a Arval that is as successful as possible in his quest, knowing that there are contradictions between the two quests. I don't know, though, that we have to have people consistent with one another. Diversity of tactics is a form of insurance in and of itself. If there's a hope for a takeover of American politics, sure, let's take it. If someone believes, like Nick, that he can do it, let's give him his try. There's all reasons to root for him in that process. There's also a reason to be doubtful and to say, you know, there might be a time at which I say, you know, Nick has negotiated too much. Nick has diluted himself too much. And he may not be able to carry youth forward in the political system because he had to do too many sacrifices to acquire the friends that he has. That time may come. It may come in 20 years, 40 years. It may never come also. So that's what I had to say. There's no reason for this internal conflict. It is all blown out of proportion, and it is being grifted upon by profiteers, by people who have weird behavior, people who have very fetish behavior. I say, that looks like a pile of shit to me. Macaulay Culkin, who was responding about people trying to get him to say that Michael Jackson maybe had abused him as a child, he was saying, you want me to lie about Michael Jackson to satisfy your sixth scenario, but the truth is he never harmed me or any other child on that farm. You know, I'm willing to I'm willing to believe that he is correct. And I'm willing to believe that all of the things that we heard about Michael Jackson being bad to young children was probably propaganda. It was probably that Michael Jackson had rustled some feathers. And it is very likely to me that Michael Jackson probably invited kids to his home the way any dad does, any parent does, and just loved kids, and not in a weird way. Ty Rogerson says he wasn't home alone. And it's very possible that he just genuinely enjoyed being around children and helping children. And he got exploited by a bunch of parents who entrusted him with their children, but then came out with false allegations. And I do think that Michael Jackson may have been targeted by a psyop to create this false impression of pedo behavior. Meta is removing end-to-end encrypted messaging from Instagram starting today. So end-to-end encrypted messaging is kind of hard to end-all. I've seen it today on X. There were spammers contacting me. I don't know why there were so many at the same time, but it's hard to control for the platforms, perhaps because if you're end-to-end encrypted, on the other hand, X cannot really supervise exactly what you say, so it's harder for AI to detect that this is spam. But I was talking to a woman, and I was like, so do you want to make babies? And she's the one who approached me. And I was like, do you want to make babies? And she entertains this whole conversation where maybe she wants. And I'm like, all right, let's get down to things. And at some point she was like, well, I'm not sure. I was like, okay, well, contact me again when you're sure. And then she's like, well, what if I tell you that, yeah, maybe I'm interested at making babies. I'm like, okay, let's plan for the plane trip. And you're gonna arrive at this airport and we're going to have a baby. And she's like, but what if I tell you that I'm a little naughty? I was like, I don't care that you're naughty. Like, I want to come inside of you to make a baby. And she was like, yeah, but before we make a baby, could you subscribe to my OnlyFans? And I was like, ah, really? And I said, I'm not giving you a dollar until you're pregnant with my children. Ah, man, this is the limit you have to impose, because there's so much exploitation of men. You have to impose, if you're not carrying a baby from me, I'm not subscribing to any of your shit. Ty Rogerson says they need to explore all of the possibilities before settling on none. Yeah. Yeah, there may be no future to any of these projects. James Fishback has announced that he wants to add to his 50% sales tax tax on the OnlyFans creators. It's the sin tax. Now, Sophie Rain was saying, if James Fishback becomes governor and I get taxed 50%, I also think that the OnlyFans consumer should be taxed 50%. Is this a fucking joke, or is she that stupid? If you get taxed 50% and your clients get taxed 50%, you realize you're going to make even less money. Does she understand that it's not about her versus our clients? It's more like she is part of an economic system that is too free, and if we impose a tax on it, whether it's on her or on the customers, it's going to be the same effect. It's going to reduce your business line, Sophie Rain. Now, James Fishback somehow liked the idea, and he says, yes, I will add a 50% sales tax on OnlyFans purchases in addition to my 50% sin tax on OnlyFans creators. Well, that would bring the business line of OnlyFans to 0%.